everybody. This is Andy Klonfelter.
And this is Lisa Monahan.
And you're listening to
90s Court. I wasn't sure if you were going to sing 90s Court. 90s Court.
You're like if, since I didn't do it, now if I say more words, it'll make up for the
of course. That's I know we, I'm going to say, have we met? But we actually haven't met. So,
no, it's true. When you, have you met me? No, actually, I haven't. The answer is no.
So, yeah, I do that. I like to fill empty voids with words.
Yes. Well, I'm there with you. So, yeah, welcome back, everybody. This is week episode 13. I couldn't think of a good, like, haunting serenade, so that was the best I had. So enjoy, everyone.
It was ominous, for sure.
So how was your week? What you been up to? What's going on today?
Well, I'm super sore from doing crazy yoga classes all week, and I am, excited because I've had two lattes and today's a storm chasing day. So when we get off this call, it's Sunday afternoon, Sunday tonight, I'm going to be in my Honda Odyssey flying up I-35.
Just like they did in Twister with the Honda Odyssey.
Just the Honda. Yeah, for sure. Like in the Honda Odyssey, going to lasso me a tornado tonight. We'll see what happens.
I was asking her when she told me she was going hunting today. I said, what kind of net do you have? Because I don't think a standard butterfly net will do. So she's going to catch that.
These guns, baby. These sick guns right here.
The sick yoga guns that no one can see.
Baby guns. No, you can't see them. It's like, it looks like a line of muscle, but it's just where the skin fat's hanging lower than the arm. So it's fine.
Yeah, it looks great.
Anyway, yeah, how was your week?
It was pretty good. I'm trying to think. I thought I had something on this, but I guess not. But no, it's been a pretty good week, good weekend. Had our first Halloween costume and had a first reason for a Halloween costume in several years. I am the biggest nerd on the planet, and I hate spending money for costumes. So like 4 years ago, I went to this party and I had this costume that I literally just was like, I don't know. I was talking to somebody about like, what's a clever, funny thing. I don't remember what it was, but somebody, I don't remember what like the discussion was, but eventually I was like, I'm your biggest fan. And so it was like, I literally had a box fan that I'd recently bought, so I cut it in half hamburger style, and then I put, like, straps on it, and so I'm just wearing, like, the box of a box fan, and there's a picture of the fan on it, and so everybody's like, what are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, how rude of me. Andy, big fan. And so, and every time, it's the most adorably wholesome joke. Like, the kids there were loving it, too, so... Anyways, it's always
really good.
It's a good social joke, but if you just don't talk to people and you just sit there, people are like, what is this dude doing wearing a fucking fan box?
It's Halloween, baby.
Yeah.
Mine was a poster board. So
Yes. You were a horrible, nightmarish tornado outbreak.
It was the best. The best.
So
anyway.
But yeah, but I don't know. It's always fun having Halloween. I don't know. I mean, we might do something like Halloween really. Hold on a second. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out of here.
He has no boundaries.
Oh, no, that is... Boundaries. Oh, I'm sorry that... It was just you, Finneskeel. I'm so sorry. It looked like a little goblin. And, I mean, let's be real. Finneskeel kind of looks like a little goblin anyways. But he had a goblin mask on and he took it off. And then he just has handed me something here because something just came across my desk.
It's court time, baby.
It is. So I'm guessing Finneskeel. No, just you can go now. Thank you. Thank you. No, seriously, you're not sticking around again. All right, bye.
He just stares at you.
I'm going to ask this and pray to the gods that somebody does this. I need fan art of Finneskeel. Just somebody just being like this from all of the random descriptions we've given him. Of him, mm-hmm. And just compiling it into one composite little monster.
I hope I've ruined salad fingers for someone.
Yeah.
I hope I've ruined it. And be like, yeah, no, it's the worst.
It's a nightmare.
But this is it's a spooky time of year, so it's a spooky kind of court, right?
Yeah.
We're getting there. We are...
Let's see.
What we got on the docket. What is that?
Oh! It's a note. It's a totally a note.
It's totally a note.
What's
it say?
It appears that Finneskeel has given us something a bit spooky. I would say lighthearted spooky. Fun spooky for the whole family. Just like Finneskeel.
Oh, yes.
This is going to be the court case of
The Nightmare Before Christmas versus Edward Scissorhands.
Can we just both say, holy shit. Did you, Andy?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Did you, you should have broke that laugh out during Andy, big fan, like, and then followed it up with that and been like, people have been like,
this seems
backing away.
Like, this seems unrelated to your outfit, Andy. I don't know why you're doing that.
I'm so uncomfortable now, everyone says as they walk away.
So I'm excited about this court case, but I did forget the thing I wanted to say earlier that I totally forgot to mention. So I got this awesome, where's my camera thing at? Okay, I'm just showing it to you. My, postcard that I got from our friends from Black Case Diaries. They sent us this righteous note. Well, they sent me note, but you can say it's for you too. It was a really cool note. We're really good friends with them, and they sent us this really cool O-Town greetings from O-Town. Rocco's Modern Life postcard. And so, and I absolutely love it, and I've been holding on to it, and that's why it was within arm's reach whenever. Whenever he said this, because I absolutely love seeing it. So thank you guys so
postcards
much.
Postcards are rad. Yeah. People don't mail each other anything anymore except for Anthrax and
bills.
So
Anthrax and bills. You're like, well, this isn't
and
a bill.
Drugs. There's a lot of drugs in the postal service too.
Yeah. It's like here's 10 pounds of heroin. Anyways,
yes.
Court case. So I believe it was Andrew Claude Felter, who went first last time.
Is that so?
That is okay. So guess whose turn it is this time?
It's me. And guess what I'm doing? Lisa
Monahan, Monahan, Monahan.
I'm not covering The Nightmare Before Christmas, but I'm also not shitting on it because that movie rules.
Yes,
I distinctly remember seeing it in theaters. I will let Andy take you on the journey that is the animated beauty of a film. I, on the other hand, am going to take you back to 1990, the very beginning of this crazy decade of ours.
Little did we know what was going to come afterwards.
Exactly. Our beautiful little baby hearts. Aww. We didn't know. We were 5 years old when Edward Scissorhands dropped. All right. Of course, a film by Tim Burton, also directed The Nightmare Before Christmas. This is a very Tim Burton court. What?
Correction.
Wait, what? Is it not?
He wrote, wrote and produced.
Oh, he wrote and produced yours. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, he directed mine. So Edward Scissorhands. Your cast includes Johnny Depp as Edward Scissorhands, Winona Ryder as Kim, Diane West as Kim's mom, Anthony Michael Hall, whom you may remember from such movies as Breakfast Club and Breakfast Club.
Yes.
He is Jim, who is Kim's boyfriend. And there are some other people. They're less interesting. Those are just the main ones that you want to know because it's the 90s. This whole movie, and I forgot about this because I rewatched it. I forgot that the movie was told from the perspective of a grandmother telling her granddaughter this story as she's putting her to bed. I was like, oh, that's very sweet. But it opens. Yeah, I forgot about this. And to me, I was laughing pretty hard because it all starts on Diane West's character, who is going door to door in her. You remember the neighborhood. It's just kind of, I don't want to say maybe kind of modern, but also kind of, I don't know, just weird, just a weird ass neighborhood. And she's an Avon lady and she's going door to door and everyone's like, what the hell? Get out of my face. I'm never going to buy from you. I never buy from you. And she's getting really distraught. And then she finally, in her rearview mirror, she turns the rearview mirror and you can see this crazy dilapidated mansion in the background. She was like, what the hell? I'm a pushy sales person.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go for it. So she goes into the mansion and then just by sheer trespassing, just like, it's like, you know what? I'm going to go in here and chase this like person I see floating around. And it's, she eventually comes to see Edward Scissorhands, who is in the, if you remember the scene, it's kind of like the attic of the mansion. And there's a big open hole of the roof. And he kind of comes out from the back and in total Avon lady fashion is like, oh, and immediately identifies all these scars and cuts on his face. And she's like, well, you know, she starts putting an astringent on her face, like the pushiest direct sales lady of all time. And so she decides to bring him home to her home to kind of feed him and just kind of introduce him to her family and the whole neighborhood. Right. And of course, this what's super funny to me is that the whole neighborhood is full of like the best cast of characters. I forgot all about the secondary women characters in this neighborhood. You've got like the big ladies, you've got the crazy a religious lady who's just talking nonsense in the background, the really like sexy mom who's always like in a push-up bra and coming on to everyone, mm-hmm. and like, you know, everyone's just like bonbons and cookouts and things like that, and they're all going insane because they're like, did you see this guy, the Kim's mom, I don't know what the character's, Diane West's character's name was in the movie, she's like, did you see who she brought home? And so everyone's going completely nuts, and then the like kind of, I don't know, I just want to call her skanky. The skanky neighbor, yeah. named Joyce is immediately all over him at, you know, a barbecue. And the crazy eccentric religious woman is like talking nonsense about him, about he's like from the devil and he's not of this world and we should be repenting and we should be concerned. And,
I mean, let's to be clear, like, I'm way more on board with her theory than with the theory of I'm attracted to this man that would murder me on accident so many times.
For sure. For sure. Well, I mean, I don't know. Because think about it. You're like in this crazy, boring neighborhood. You're married to whatever you're married to. Everyone's doing the same thing in their golf pants and their same cars. And then suddenly walks out this guy who looks like, oh, were you the lead singer of My Chemical Romance? But in 1990? Maybe.
Yes.
Who can never be sure?
Absolutely.
And he's got.
But without yeah. the ability to impale you by giving you a hug.
Yeah, or like a high five that puts your eyeball out of your face, yes. or or any kind of other maneuvers. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, so yeah, he's enticing in that he's mysterious, right? And so, if you recall, he is kind of just trying to fit into the house. He's can't put on clothes. Tries to sleep on Winona Ryder's bed and punctures the waterbed with his hands, and it's just kind of a whole mess.
Oh, waterbeds.
And I know. Yeah, waterbeds. I think someone in my family had one at some point. It's a mess. But and if you remember, he started like making topiaries for the family, and then everyone uh-huh. in the neighborhood was like, oh shit, make us some topiaries. And so he kind of formed this neighborhood, or excuse me, transformed it into this, you know, crazy topiary situation. And then they were like, hey, your crazy scissor hands are doing work there. Why don't you trim my dog up? And then they were like, you do such a good job at that. Why not give us all these crazy eccentric haircuts? And so the women
Hell
are like
yeah.
literally orgasmic about him cutting their hair. I was like, okay, here's the thing. I've gotten my hair cut before and I've never like, so yeah, I've never like had my toes point and like arching my back in the chair. Turns out, maybe I haven't been going to the right hair salon. I don't know. But, this all eventually turns into Winona Ryder's character starting to be like, I don't really know about him, but he's immediately kind of like in love with her. But Anthony Michael Hall's character, Kim's boyfriend, Jim, is a total piece of shit and is really mean and rude and possessive over Kim. And Edward Scissorhands straight up is like, I do not like you. And it's just kind of a whole situation. And then over the course of this time, everyone's like, you know what? We need to get you to open up a hair salon. The sexy lady is like, come open a hair salon.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you remember the scene, she's like, oh, what if I just showed you the different like robes that people can wear while they're getting their hair cut? And then she like crawls all over him and tries to seduce God. Him. And then the chair falls backwards. He flips out and takes off running. And she starts telling the entire neighborhood that Edward Scissorhands tried to seduce her. And then everyone starts turning on him.
I hate that. I hate that point yeah. in movies. Like, that's always my least favorite thing whenever, like, and the main guy is always is too good of a person to be like, no, that's not true. Like, they're always yeah. just like, we have to run away.
Well, what if this person was not just too good to tell people what was truth? What if this person was just like a weird robot person that was trained by a mad scientist up in a mansion? Like,
fair,
how to pretend
fair.
To be
yeah,
a person?
It would be difficult to express that with much
yeah,
eloquence.
A little bit. So then Kim's boyfriend suggests that Edward help pick the lock on his I'm trying to wrap my head around this. To pick the lock on his own parents' house so he can get a van for he and Kim to go, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe they were just tired of catching rides with people.
So this
it's so
kid
very
can't
1990.
Get into his own house. First off, why can't he get?
Maybe
into
his. I think his parents left and they were like, "We're locking you out of the house."
Yeah,
you're sleeping
on the road. You're sleeping on the road this week. Yeah. Sorry.
If you remember, the security system activates while they're all in the house. Edward Scissorhands gets locked in the house, and then they leave. They bail him, or they bail on him, and then he gets arrested. And then the whole town is starting to be like, "This freak needs to get the hell out of here."
God.
Kim's family at this point is the only one still on Edward's side. And if you remember, they start playing like this Christmas party and Edward Scissorhands is starting to do, an ice sculpture and he's slicing it up with his crazy scissor hands. And then there's this iconic scene of Winona Ryder, dancing in the ice shavings because they act like snow. And it's a really, I mean, it really is a beautiful scene in a movie. I really enjoyed the movie on a rewatch. Oh,
absolutely.
But then Jim comes up and confronts Edward Scissorhands, and he startles him, and then he cuts Winona Ryder's hand, and this starts the beginning of the end. And Jim accuses Edward of trying to hurt Kim. And then he was like, Edward Scissorhands is like, you know what, fuck this, except for that's not what he said, but he was like, I'm out, and he starts going into a mad rage, and if you remember, he's like sliding his hands down the hallway and destroying all the topiaries in the house, or in the neighborhood, and it ends up being this whole debacle, and the police get involved, and they basically shoo him back to his mansion, and then Anthony Michael Hall's character, or the Jim, I should just start calling them Jim and Kim, Jim chases him into the mansion, and so does Kim. And there's this big confrontation, and then Edward Scissorhands stabs Anthony.
Yes!
Damn it. Stabs Jim in the stomach and pushes him out the window because he's starting to hit Kim. And then he kills Jim. And Kim is like, oh my gosh, they're all going to kill you too. And so she goes and finds like an extra set of hands that the inventor had and goes outside and tells the whole town people, like, they killed each other. He's dead. You can go home now. And then they just leave him there in the mansion. And then he just stays there. And it's the saddest.
Can I tell you something? I did not know that was the ending. That's the end of the movie.
The end of the movie is that the grandmother, it pans back to the grandmother talking to the granddaughter. And she's
and that's why you never have scissors for hands.
Yeah, it turns out really bad idea to have like machete fingers.
What could possibly be the life lesson in this story?
Well, but it ends with her being like, the daughter was like, or granddaughter was like, did you ever go back up there? You should go visit him. She was like, I don't want it. I've aged a lot. I want him to remember me how I was. And it's like, first of all.
This is like a pre-Titanic thing where it's like Rose telling the story.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just like, bitch, you're still beautiful. Even if you're 83, you're still beautiful. Go see your old robot lover man. But she never does. And then it's just him back alone in the mansion just. Taking care, he has like a topiary that looks like him, and that's it, and that's the end of the movie, and it's a big heartbreaker. I'm so sad about this, but okay, I was also a couple notes. Edward Scissorhands, I would say this was the ugliest Johnny Depp ever was, and I've never been attracted to Johnny Depp, and I was like, but one of my friends was like, oh, he was super hot in that movie. I was like, okay, you do you. Winona Ryder. I loved seeing Anthony Michael Hall as a total dick fiend. I was just like, you're the worst. Because coming off the Breakfast Club, he may have been in stuff between Breakfast Club and Edward Scissorhands, but it was like, wow, you're a real piece of shit in this movie. And I was pleased to see it, but it was just shit. It was a sad movie. But honestly, what is this? What, 30? Ooh, 30 years later, the movie really holds up. It's still a great film. The acting is great. The setting is great. It's good. If you need something to do this October, this isn't that spooky, but it's up there, right? I don't know. Edward Scissorhands rules. Close my court case.
No, it's one of those things that it's one of the early. I mean, obviously, Beetlejuice was the one that people. Mm-hmm. recall the most, but like the contrast of like they, because of course they always make, I mean, Johnny Depp has to be the most the person that has been most featured with makeup that intentionally makes him look pale, like intentionally makes him look grayscale, like black and white. Like that's always this thing with him, is every movie they always try and make it this stark contrast situation, like the people in the neighborhood as compared to Edward Scissorhands, like this very grayscale pale human being, and I'm assuming very colorful everybody else. God, I'm getting so many notifications, hopefully that's not showing up on audio. So
no, it's not, you're totally fine.
But no, but it's just, I mean, between that and like the Batman Returns and all that kind of stuff, so But yeah, no, I love the I will say I have not seen this movie in a very long time, and it was good getting a refresher course on it because I genuinely did not remember, oh, this movie just ends, and they're like, well, things are all bad. The end.
Yep. Everyone just went about their lives without this amazing little robot person, and they just left him alone in the mansion after he killed someone.
That's what you get.
He doesn't know what that means.
That's what you get for being made by a crazy scientist, so.
Which was played by Vincent Price.
Oh, nice. There was a good cast in that flick, too.
It was a really good cast. And the father, Kim's father, was a good character, too. It just, the name, the actor's name didn't resonate with me. And but I, you know, I've seen him a lot in a lot of different movies, and I didn't write his name down because I'm a jerk. But
you're such a jerk. Yeah. And you know what? And the weird thing to me is this, is that, like, 1990 has always felt like all the movies that I see from actually 90 and, like, all of the things from 90, like, it feels like the Super Nintendo is almost like the bursting out of the scene of the actual 90s in 91. Like it, like it does. And there is a theory, you know, well, there was no, you know, I don't know, like back in the forever ago, like there was no year zero. So technically, you know, the aught year is still part of the 90s. Like, so 2000 would be part of it, but we're not doing that. Yeah. So suck it. But, but it always does feel like a lot of the stuff that happened in the 90s was totally very 80s. In a lot of ways, and 91 yes, and totally. On kind of felt more 90s. So, but we're not here to talk about that. What I am here to talk about is The Nightmare Before Christmas. The Nightmare Before Christmas. Love this jam. Totally seasonal. Love this thing so much. And a very different feel. A lot more of a very fun, exciting, enjoyable film. And I mean, you know, with Disney kind of having its hands there and too, and everything like that too. I mean, it's kind of
Disney did.
Here's the thing is, I don't know. I was looking through it and have it listed as part of Disney, but I don't know if it's that Disney bought, like, the people who made this, which is also very possible. But I'm gonna get called out on that. I love whenever I say things that I'm not confident in.
I'm just gonna stop asking questions, because when I do, I end up digging you a hole. Like, yeah, you Office do. Or Parks and Rec. Can was we, this a Disney?
Yeah,
film?
I've already gotten so much guff for things that have been as a result of a question that you've asked.
I'll shut up forever.
Now I have a question for you, Lisa.
What's that?
What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. Oh, what's this?
So
that's part of a song that I had no background music for. So,
A great job.
Yeah,
though.
That is one of my my favorite song from the flick. There's a lot of good music in this one, and we'll go through a little bit of that. So this was produced in this was made in 1993, written and produced by our boy Tim Burton, directed by Henry Selick. And Jack Skellington, the main character of this film, was voiced by Chris Sarandon as the actor and singing voice by Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman also literally wrote all of the music for this, because Danny Elfman is a boss. So I just couldn't believe, I mean, I didn't realize until afterwards that they were completely different people, you know, singing and the voice actor and everything like that. But I mean, Danny Elfman did a lot of movies affiliated with Tim Burton. I mean, like, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas, Princess Bride, Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He did a whole bunch of things, alongside him as well. So as far as kind of what happens in this movie, so you start out, you get this wham, bam, thank you, man. Here's all of the backstory you need. And, like, literally I checked, it was like 4 minutes and I knew everything I needed to know about the general premise of this entire existence. They start out, they're showing you, hey, there's this big circle in the woods. This is and it's like, hey, you know, you probably wonder where holidays come from. This is a rough explanation that really doesn't actually make sense if you think about it too hard, so don't. Is that basically there's a bunch of trees in this circle, and each of them has a door on it. One of them is a pumpkin for Halloween. One of them is a turkey for Thanksgiving. I can't imagine what would be in that freaking tree. It'd be really boring. There's an egg for Easter.
Some yams.
Yeah, some freaking yams. Look at all this food. Enjoy. A Christmas tree, obviously. There was an egg for Easter, which that vaguely comes up later, and I'll discuss that. And I think a shamrock for St. Patrick's Day. And that's it, because no other holidays exist. So
no other holidays.
I mean, I guess it's implied that Arbor Day is in there, because I mean, because it's just trees. What?
Is it Diwali, Passover, President's Day?
Yeah, President's Day, the big ones, you know. So they started out with that, and then immediately after that, they go into the door for the Halloween thing, and they start on, it's Halloween in Halloween Land, and they're doing the song intro of, this is Halloween, and it's the whole thing. Where you're basically coming from outside of the town into the town, and you're seeing more characters as you go in singing their own parts. And basically the premise that I understand from this is that Halloween to them is them doing a big musical number. And that's it. Like, they wait 364 days And then finally Halloween comes around. They do a big musical number, hand out some awards to the people for their production value. And they're like, sweet, let's start planning for next year. The end. So needless to say, Jack is having an existential crisis. And I could not, I've never related to someone more than Jack Skellington being like, I fucking have done this a million times. Everybody's like, bro, you're so good. And he's like, cool, thanks. I'm going to go, you know, I can't die. I can't.
Totes Ovies. I'm so Ovi this.
I'm so Ovi. So so that song ends. I mean, you get to meet a lot of the characters and you understand, oh, this entire land is Halloween, basically. And basically they even explain, they're like, listen, we're not bad guys. We're not mean. Like in one line they say, we're not mean. We just like scaring people. Like that's the whole premise is like, imagine if you had a one-track mind, and that's kind of important to the whole movie scheme, is imagining that like your entire existence is based on scaring other people. Now, the thing is, I still want to know is they do this musical production for who? Nobody, like, who are they doing it for? There's no one that they're doing it for. It's just for themselves because all of them are doing it just to enjoy themselves, I guess. And then it'd be like, yeah, we all did really great. See ya.
Pat on the back.
Yeah.
Again.
So basically this world sucks and Jack then leaves town and he's like, thanks everybody, I'm going to go. And sings his Fuck Isn't There More to Life song. And honestly,
don't remember that. Yeah, in the
like
theaters.
I don't think those are the exact words, but it was actually a really great song. It was a very pretty song, and it was equipped in that song with the most iconic imagery of the movie, which is Jack on the, I call the Curly Hill.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, the Curly Hill with the moon, right in the background. That's when he's like ba 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 ba, and as he's like taking these big steps as the thing curls out and forms a platform to walk down. This whole thing was just like, especially for 1993, like the video, just the visual splendor of this thing was awesome. And it was like you said, I mean, it's, and then you see again, this is another one where they do the diametrically opposed thing where they have the whole Halloween town. And then, and I'll go to this shortly, as far as the next place that they're going to go. So Jack and his ghost dog Zero, which I call Zero the red-nosed ghost dog, because he did, in fact, have a very shiny nose, and that would come up later in the movie as it became relevant. So basically Jack's like, screw this, I'm wandering the forest. He wanders forever and finds that circle of trees we were talking about, which doesn't make sense why the circle of trees would be in Halloween Town too, because that means there's a circle of trees everywhere. Because all of the trees except for theirs, like in the one, because otherwise it's like this infinite loop where you could just keep going through the Halloween door infinitely forever.
That's
the biggest problem with this movie, Lisa.
All right, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. I'm calling Tim Burton right now.
Tim, what's the
deal?
I'm
going to yell at you.
What's the deal with the doors? Tim.
Fuck this up, buddy.
Yeah, and they don't really explain.
The movie's trash.
And that's the thing is they don't explain. So then he finds like all the doors, and he looks at them, and he's like, "I'm going into this this fancy tree door." So he goes into the Christmas door, and that's when my favorite song, as I mentioned, comes, which is the "What's This?" And he's going, that's he's in one. There, and it's ba bum ba bum ba 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 bum ba bum ba bum ba 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 bum. And it is funny, like, he's kind of popping in and out at all these other places, and, like, sometimes he's singing in a whisper, because there's, like, kids sleeping or whatever, and he's like, and then he's what's this? And then he, like, leaves, and the kids wake up, like, what the fuck? But yeah, so he's just basically like, this place seems super dope, but I don't know what the fuck is going on. Why is this so good? I don't know why this is good. Like, because, I mean, like, again, you have to understand from the perspective of this person lives in a place where the only thing people understand is that scaring people is good, and yet he's like, this is all great, and I don't know why I like it. So he comes back to town, because everybody's in town, like, where the fuck is Jack? What's going on? And Jack comes back, and he's like, I've got a full hard-on for Christmas now, and we're going to fucking do this shit. And everybody's like, what? What's this Christmas? And of course, nobody understands it. Nobody understands what this thing is. He's like, they're presents. And he's like, do they scare people? He's like, no, they're just presents. And they're like, oh, okay. And of course, they are like, he's like, we're going to do Christmas. And they're like, hell yeah, let's manifest destiny this shit. We're going to westward expansion, just steal Christmas.
All right.
So Jack also doesn't understand. I mean, he's doing this whole thing where he's trying to figure out what the deal with Christmas is. He locks himself away in his tower, literally doing, he's reading forever all these different Christmas stories and stuff, and he's, like, experimenting, like, he'll, like, take, like, a piece of holly and, like, put it in, like, a test tube and, like, shake it up and stuff like that.
Oh, yes.
And just doing all this stuff because he's like, what is this? He's like, I don't understand. And there's a little bit of, I forgot to mention, Sally is the other main character in this. She's the stitched together, like, Frankenstein's monster, basically, of this tiny frog dog man in a wheelchair that's, like, the mad scientist.
The worst. Yeah. With a mouth from, like, shoulder to shoulder. He's the worst.
And so she keeps breaking out of him by, like, poisoning him and stuff, and that's kind of a whole backstory thing, too. And they kind of show, I mean, she is kind of longingly looking at Jack all the time and, like, is super, like, I relate to you, Jack. Like, life sucks. Let's hang out because we both don't like life. And so then, so Jack finally at the end of it is, like, after he's done all the experiments, he's like, I get it. It's something you can't describe. Like, it's just something you have to trust in without ever seeing. And at the same time, Sally, like, randomly, I don't know, it was this weird thing where, like, a Christmas tree, like, was super shiny and grew in her hands, like she's looking at this plant, and then it burnt in flames.
Yeah.
And for some reason, she was like, well, this means that Christmas is going to be ruined. And I don't know how she came to that conclusion based on that, but apparently she's like, Jack, you can't do this. You can't see.
Women are smart, man.
Yeah, but she knew. Yeah.
She do be like that.
She knew. So Jack is like, we're doing Christmas. He basically sets up everyone in town to work. We're going to do this Christmas thing. We've only got, like, less than 2 months to do this. So he starts handing out toys and decorations and stuff like that. And, of course, everybody's like, everybody in Halloween Town fucks everything up. Like, they just, like, every toy imaginable is now, like, a monster, basically. Including at least one of the toys was literally just a shrunken, severed head. So I don't know how they got that.
Is that not on the highest
list
for children this year? I guess I need to... Do you think Amazon accepts returns?
Yeah, sorry.
On Tiny Shepherd.
Yeah, the kids might like it. So then he's like, I have a secret mission for you three kids. And there's these three terrible kids that always wear, like, spooky masks. And he's like, your job is to get kidnap Santa Claus because we're going to give him a day off. So Jack has good intentions in this whole thing. He's like, I just want to give Santa Claus a day off so I can be Santa Claus. NBD, we're going to do it this year. It's going to be us. Okay, cool.
Except for kidnapping. I mean,
kidnapping's not great, but it's like, it's just.
Not the best, but sure.
I mean, they also at this point, think that Santa Claus is this scary, terrifying creature because, like, when he explains him, he's like, he comes and he knows everything and he comes in the night. They do have a funny scene, like this thing that I had quoted often when I was a kid, which was they kidnap the Easter Bunny by mistake. They go in the wrong place and they bring this bag out and they open it up and this huge bunny comes out and there's just this big dopey character that's standing on this, like, standing next to Jack, and the bunny comes up to him and he's like, Bunny! And I don't know why.
Oh, I remember that character.
Bunny. So then they start the song Taking Christmas, which I'm sure a lot of you know, which is Taking Christmas. And it's the whole them, like, changing all the toy scene and everything like that. So there's musical things for everything. So they do kidnap Santa Claus. And he's like, and Jack says, put him somewhere comfortable. And he just lets him know, hey, we're going to be taking over this year. It's cool. And they're like, okay. And so the kids are like, let's take him to the boogeyman. That's really comfortable.
The boogeyman.
I don't know why they thought.
The boogeyman.
The kids were the worst. So anyways, they mess up everything.
No shit.
Yeah. The scene with the boogeyman is super rad because it's like this so crazy awesome. Black light, like glow in the dark, like everything super cool imagery and everything.
Yeah.
Scene where it's basically the boogeyman explaining to Santa Claus why he's a piece of shit and he's going to kill him.
Yeah.
I'm like, just do it. Why are you just shit or get off the pot? There's no reason to be talking smack to this guy and then doing nothing about it.
The original terrorist.
Yeah, he's the original, the OG.
The man was a terrorist, yeah.
Okay. So then Jack takes off. He's going to be the new Santa Claus in Christmas Town. And honestly, he does a really good job, except the toys are absolute nightmares. And so, like, there's reports going around town, oh my gosh, kids are getting attacked with these toys. And the thing apparently you didn't know about Christmas Town is that they have giant land cannons that will shoot at things in the air. Like, we're like, why is this in Christmas Town? Like, Halloween Town doesn't have this. Why are there massive, like, cannons to shoot things down? So they, you know, decide, okay, well, we need to take Santa Claus out because he is bringing bad stuff. This is a fake Santa. And so they just absolutely destroy his sleigh as he's flying, and Jack's confused. He's like, why are they shooting? Are they shooting fireworks? Oh, they like it. Great.
Yeah.
And then they shoot him out of the sky, and he crashes. But Jack's okay, of course, because he's a skeleton. Like, he's fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Resilient.
And so apparently getting shot out of the sky with a cannon was enough to teach him, oh, you know what? Maybe Santa Claus should be the guy doing Christmas. So so he comes back to Halloween Town. And in the meantime, while he's coming back, Sally has tried to help Santa Claus escape. And in the meantime, Boogeyman catches her, and they're both, Santa Claus and Sally, are caught, and they're put on this big slab that is going to drop them into like this hot steaming liquid and basically kill them.
Okay.
Jack comes in at the last second and saves them, and then there's this epic fight scene between the Boogeyman and Jack, who the Boogeyman is a big dude, like, so he's like, looks like he's doing pretty well. And then the problem is that I haven't mentioned about the Boogeyman is he's literally a burlap sack full of bugs. And so there's just a loose string at one point, and Jack just like pulls it as the Boogeyman's like flying off, and he just, his bag comes completely undone, and it's just a series of bugs, and all the bugs scatter, and then Santa Claus even crushes one with his foot.
I feel like the bugs could reconvene and you be like, no, we can do this again.
Like, yeah, like, hey, this. These sentient bugs that have been working together forever, and now that they're out of the bag, it's like, well, we can't do anything anymore. Sorry,
that's a
gang.
Wrap on us.
Sorry.
Oh, well, time to go live in the walls.
Yeah, who knew that this was such a, what a fragile existence to be like, if this bag rips, I'm just screwed, which I guess is,
yeah.
I guess humans are kind of like that.
Yeah.
So anyways,
I mean, if our big meat bags rip, we're in trouble.
Yeah, we are. Fortunately, there's not as many convenient strings to pull on. So Santa Claus gets to work, fixes all the problems that Jack caused in Christmas Town. Christmas is saved. And Jack's like, you know what? I'm content with being the Pumpkin King, and realizes that the thing he wanted more than anything was, I think, a woman. I don't think he ever says it, but him and Sally, I guess, weird Einstein guy, the creepy scientist.
Oh, the inventor guy?
Yeah, since Sally had been gone for so long, I guess he got himself a wife. And he, like, basically, like, they show, I think he created another one that looks exactly like him, but with a wig. And so she's like, oh, sweet, so I'm free. So at the end, you see them meeting in the moonlight at that original scene where Jack was asking, like, saying, what, is there more? And they meet on the hill, and that's the end of the movie. So it's a short movie. This is literally, it was an hour and 12 minutes from start to
beginning. That's a lot to do in an hour and 12 minutes. That's
like
an action-packed flick.
They are just boom, boom, boom. It's so much. And the music, like I said, was so good. Danny Elfman really absolutely killed it on this one. So I don't know. Did you have any thoughts on this? Because I know I've been kind of talking.
Other than it was amazing. No. It was great. The movie was great. I'm glad you. I forgot all about the Boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
And now I really want to go back and rewatch it too. Ugh. Hopefully, we're doing this to other people, making them wish they could walk into a Blockbuster, pull out their super sweet laminated Blockbuster card, and be like, "I want to buy the Nightmare Before Christmas." But you can't.
All those Blockbusters,
you have to go to Voodoo or something.com.
Yeah, Amazon, Prime, all that stuff. Yeah, I had to pay my $2.99 to rent this bad
boy. See? Guys, we're going into the hole. We're going broke over this show.
We're going
show.
Broke. Yeah, we need to get a Patreon going so y'all can pay for my
so
movies.
So we can watch these films and tell you about the films.
Yeah, so.
Oh, great court case.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So anyways, I think that's going to be case closed on that one. So. So anyways, I did want to quickly introduce before we go to break. We are going to have a quick promo here for a wonderful podcast with a great friend of ours, Coffin Cast, that we'll be doing
Coffin
theirs.
Cast.
Kristen's a rock star, and we love her show. So anyways, it is time to go to break, so we will catch you shortly.
Awesome. See you in a few.
It is the one thing that unites all living things and divides them at the same time. It is both freeing and paralyzing. It is the end of pain and the beginning of pain. In Coffin Cast, I seek to shine a light in the darkest of all places that we all will face, death. A mix of true crime, strange and bizarre death stories, with a hint of education, and sometimes humor mixed in. Hosted by me, Kristen, with new episodes every Monday at 8 a.m. Central. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 90s Court Part 2. Do, 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 do.
I thought you were going to say brought to you by.
Brought to you by Spumco.
Kittens.
Kittens. Spunko. Inspired by kittens. That's an old one. Oh my gosh, that must have been like, what, 2002, 3?
I got nothing on that reference. That's fine.
Kittens, inspired by kittens. Someone knows it. That's all I need to do. We wanted to hop into poll results because, boy, did I get my ass beat. Didn't I?
No, you didn't.
What was
this
the
was
fun?
A very, yeah. This was, compared to a lot of them, this one was a lot closer than you expect. Like, it felt like it was a lot worse because everybody was voicing, like, Wayne's World, Wayne's World. But then apparently all the casuals, all the younger folk, I think, honestly, more than anything, because just a lot more people were familiar with Austin Powers, especially later on. So Wayne's World versus Austin Powers, we had two polls, one of which was from Facebook. This one was a little bit closer than Twitter. It came out to 54% for Wayne's World and 46% for Austin Powers. So see, not too bad. Twitter, again, it wasn't terrible. 58% Wayne's World to 42% Austin Powers. So see, didn't break 60% on either, so that's not too bad. But since it was unanimous, unfortunately, Austin Powers, you are relegated to the gas chamber. Sorry.
That's fine. I mean,
I know you guys didn't know what happened to the losing contest, but they die.
They die. No, yeah. All recordings of the film, all copies of the film, they just trash.
Burnt.
We send them into space on the next Apollo mission, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. Well, that wasn't so bad. Well, thank you to everyone for chiming in on Twitter, Facebook, and anywhere else, DMs, wherever the heck else. So I always get some interesting feedback from people too.
MySpace.
MySpace. Yeah, if you haven't checked out MySpace,
a lot of Tinder votes and Bumble votes. You know, all the good dating sites and everything. FarmersOnly.com.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Tell me you're on Farmers Only.
FarmersOnly.com. No.
I want to be single so I can get on Farmers Only. I guess I don't,
well, you don't have
to
be
single.
Lonely.
I could just
you don't have to be lonely on FarmersOnly.com.
Oh my gosh.
Anyways.
So, okay. I have a thing that I introduced in the recess episode that I actually wanted to bring to the main episode as well. And that was the kind of celebrities quote / movies quiz, movie quote quiz. Again, I don't have a name for this. It's just, I really enjoyed doing it last week and I wanted to bring it back. Of course, I did it with the recess episode. If you haven't heard it yet, it was really fun. I did Brad Pitt and who was it? The girl. Shit, who was the girl?
The girl with the thing.
Oh, fuck.
I don't remember her name.
Oh, Sarah Michelle Gellar. That's what it was. I can't remember.
Everybody
anything.
In the 90s had three names.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Anthony Michael Hall, Winona. Mm-hmm. Steven Ryder, yeah, everyone. I think three names. I wanted to present to you the first set of questions. I have two. Jim Carrey. All right. Which of these three quotes belonged in the movie Cable Guy?
Ooh.
This will be tough, right? Did you see Cable Guy? I loved Cable Guy. He was so
weird
in that.
I love Cable Guy. I haven't seen that movie in so long, but yeah, that was one of those ones where it was kind of like, there's the combination of like, this is just a wacky off the wall funny movie, but also like, hey, we're gonna get like kind of real and like make it kind of gritty for a little bit too. Like, it's like, I'm a little uncomfortable in this comedy.
Yeah, and I have to say, one of my top three, if not number one, I would say my number one film probably is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which Jim Carrey plays a more serious role, and I love whenever
love
you get comedians.
Flick.
Yeah, it's mine.
For it's
a very
just
long
a great,
time.
Honestly, it was a great premise too. Like, it's a super cool, and the way they did it with the, anyways, sorry,
that's
off,
a 2000, that's
off.
A 2000,
yeah,
five, six,
next.
Anyway, that's a different time. But we love that movie. That's a little sweet note from the two of us. Okay, Jim Carrey, which quote belonged in the movie Cable Guy? Okay. Quote number one, I'd like to eat her liver with some farver beans and a nice bottle of Chianti. Number two.
Jesus.
Yeah, number two. Now you have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punks? And number three. You know, from this angle, you look just like Dizzy Gillespie. Salt peanuts, salt peanuts. Very interesting quotes.
Oh my God.
And it's
I have
okay if you don't if you don't know which movie, which one you think, you can just take a wild guess. I can tell you again. Do you want them again?
Yeah, one more time.
Sure. Option number one. I'd like to eat her liver with some farver beans and a nice bottle of Chianti. Number two. Now you have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punks? Or three. You know, from this angle, you look just like Dizzy Gillespie. Salt peanuts. Salt peanuts. Now, this is hard because Jim Carrey's a weird dude. every quote I presented to you was really weird. So
yeah, they're not well-known quotes.
No,
so.
Well, I try not to be like, which quote is from The Mask? Smokin'. It's like, no, it's not fun that way. So.
So I'm going to say, just cause I just don't like, number one, I'm just like, no, like, cause here's the thing. I remember from the Cable Guy, like he's quoting and talking about movie stuff, like all the time, and TV show stuff and all that stuff. So like, I would have, like, I was leaning towards two, but at the same time, I'm like, that could be anything. Like he could be on any, like do that quote anywhere. So I'm going to say three just because it seems weird.
Yeah.
And it feels relevant.
You were right. The third quote
I did
is from Cable Woo! Guy. The first one, I'd like to eat her liver with some farber beans and a nice bottle of Chianti, is from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh.
I believe this is a scene where they're in the club in Aspen, or like they're dressed in the suits and they do the, like, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So that, and then number two, now you have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punks? That's from The Mask. Very good, Andy. Very good.
I was going to say, The Mask, I could totally see him like pulling out fake like guns or something like that in that situation.
That's, yeah, I think that's exactly the scene. I think he had the fake guns.
Yeah.
And then my second set of quotes is not from a movie. I cheated because I was like, oh, I can't think of a good actress today. I'm just having a brain fart. This is from the show Friends. And it's okay.
Okay.
Were you a Friends?
Yeah,
Friends
I watched. Head? I mean, I at least know. Early seasons, I watched a pretty good amount of them. Yeah.
Okay, and I want to know.
It's been a long time though.
Yeah, same. I haven't done any of the rewatching on Netflix. Somehow, yeah. I want to know which quote came from Chandler. Okay.
Okay.
Number one, you can't just give up. Is that what a dinosaur would do? Quote two.
Okay.
So it seems like this internet thing is here to stay, huh? And quote three, I am this close to tugging on my testicles again.
Okay.
All three are quotes from
I think
Friends.
The first one feels like a Joey quote.
Okay.
Honestly, it feels like all three of them feel like Joey quotes.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to go with three again. I think that sounds like a Joey thing, or a Chandler thing.
I am this close to tugging on my testicles again?
Yup.
That is Ross.
What?
I know. I saw the quote. I was like,
it was either two
me?
Or three. Please tell me it's not one.
It's not one. Number one, the dinosaur one is Joey to
sure.
Ross. And then, so it seems like the internet thing is here to say it was Chandler. Yeah. I believe they were sitting on the couch at the coffee shop. What did I say? Central Perk. That's right.
Central Perk.
Yeah. Good job.
Okay. Well, hey, I got one and I always at least narrow it down to two out of three usually.
Yeah. And honestly, if you presented me with this segment, I would bomb more than 100% of the time. So it's okay. You're doing great. This is fun.
I always think it over very logically. I like logic problems, which these aren't, but for somehow I make them into them.
I like the game of follow the ball under the cup. It's like, I don't fucking know. Just throw a cup, Gus out there and see what happens. So very
like, good. I like tricking myself into believing that I have some logical reason for picking one, but I never, it's just like, you're just picking randomly. Don't be weird.
Yeah.
So thank you for that little side gig. Always enjoy that one.
Yeah.
So this week I wanted to talk to you because here's the thing. Since we're not going to be doing Are You Afraid of the Dark here for a hot minute, and I know that's sad, but so many people are doing, like, we have a lot of friends that are podcasts, and a lot of people are covering Are You Afraid of the Dark on the whole this month, and so we're going to save this for a better time. But I did want to talk about, you know, I like talking about episodes, like we talked about Pinball Wizard a while back. That was one that I actually really liked. This one is one that I mentioned last week that I had purchased a few seasons of this. And so it's in collection three. The one, if you go to Amazon and you buy them on there, they have collections that you buy them in. So it's in collection three. And then other sources are saying it's not in season three. Whatever.
Okay.
So this is in a season. but in the collections, it was the last episode of this season, which that season was so good. And then it just ended with this, the dumbest premise, like I could not believe. I was like, how could you possibly think this is a good idea? And it wasn't even very well executed.
Okay.
And that's the thing is I normally am very forgiving of Are You Afraid of the Dark? This one just was buck wild. So
all right.
I'm here to talk to you about The Tale of the Fire Ghost.
I mean, that sounds like it would be good.
You're like, what is it? Like a ghost that's made of like wreathed in flame? Nay, the premise of this is it starts out and it's in a fire department.
Ugh.
And it starts out, there's a birthday party. And the dad apparently, like the kid's birth, I don't know if it was the kid's birthday, I think it's the dad's or something like that. So like the dad is like a single dad. Him and his mom split. The two kids kind of like don't like the dad because of the fact that they think it was his fault they split or something like that.
It always is, but yeah.
So basically, like, in passing, somebody jokingly mentions, one of the firefighters jokingly mentions, like, yeah, you gotta be careful, a fire ghost will get you. And so what ends up being discovered by me, Andy the human, later on, is that when they say fire ghost, what they mean is when firefighters put out a fire, it dies and a ghost follows them back to the station.
So they're saying that a
please.
Okay, I'm gonna ingest
this information, okay, please.
So the firefighters are like ghost fire, and they go put out a fire. Like, oh shit, this house is on fire. They put it out, and they're like, well, we did it. We saved some lives. Time to go home. And then the fire is extinguished. It's like, JK, I'm a ghost, and
I'm ghost coming now.
Back with you to the fire station.
Yes. So the first premise of this is that heated oxygen is alive.
Okay, sure, fine.
And then afterwards, it's like, you killed me with your water, and it comes back.
What are you talking about?
Firefighters, and here's the thing: so there really is this place. The fire station is where this whole thing happens. They end up getting like trapped in there. Like, they try and escape multiple times, and there's this other ghost who's like the ghost of a firefighter that like was always like, your dad was the bravest man I knew, and he's like trying to help them this whole time. Like, with everything, they don't know it's a ghost till near the end, though. So they think, oh, it's just this random guy who watches the station while they're gone.
Nope.
And apparently, if you look right into the eye of of the fire ghost, like if it turns, like the flames come up, and you look right into it, like that's when the fire ghost can affect you and do things. But if you don't do that, it's not a problem.
So,
which is just, so it's really easy to accidentally have this happen, but apparently the fire ghost, until this moment when the two kids are there by themselves, because the firefighters were there and then they got called on a fire, so they had to leave.
You just leave kids at the station, sure, that's fine.
And they just leave kids at the station.
It's the 90s.
By themselves with expensive, like so much gear and so much shit, but they're like, nah, it's fine. Anyway, so, yeah, it's this whole thing, this, like, they go to these different rooms and, the fire ghost, apparently it's just like this animated character that can like disguise himself as like a police officer, and then later on he's like this charred, nasty looking dude with crazy hair with like red around his eyes and stuff. And so he is literally like, your dad was one of the biggest murderers I know. And so apparently fire ghosts reference firefighters as murderers.
Okay.
So this is so dumb. It is very dumb. The good ghost tells them like you need to get him, lure him out and then extinguish him. So they set this trap and they have this big like fire extinguisher thing, and one of them like does this big circle around him and blows all the fire paste or whatever the fuck it is around him, and they're like, "Ah, it's finally solved." And the good ghost is like, "We did it." And then it just clears and they're like, "Nope, he's still there and he's fine." Like the fire ghost was still there. And they're like, I'm going to kill you. He's like standing there like, I'm going to get you now. And they're like, no matter what you do, don't use fire. I hate fire. And like, as he's like looking up, there's like a sprinkler system up above. And of course, the fire ghost is like, oh, this is too sweet. And he like starts like burning up and like setting like just becoming this huge flame. And then the sprinkler system, apparently the sprinkler system though is fine. The fire goo from the extinguisher, not good enough. But the fire water comes down and they're like, oh no. Got me, and
you win this time, mortals.
And kills the fire ghost. It was a hard one to watch, gang. Like I said, a lot of them, I'm like, oh, I like. And there's usually like some kind of redeeming quality about a lot of the episodes. This one just was not very good. And like, here's the thing: there might have been later episodes that were really bad, and like some of the early ones, like they had bad child acting and everything like that. This just was like. Usually they at least have a clever story. Like, this one just was like too much for me.
I think this is just they probably had an intern that smoked a lot of pot and had it was like, hey, I have an idea, and they were like, eh, let the kid have a turn, and this is what happened.
And the thing was is that, like, you know, the Midnight Society at the beginning, they always talk and they have their continuing backstory and everything like that. Yeah. And the different kids tell the stories. This was one by, so there's the little brother of, like, there's the main dude who's, like, the taller one with the glasses.
Yeah, I remember him. Yeah. I always thought he was
And
cute.
It's his little brother. Yeah. And his little brother, I remember when he first came in, he told this really banger of a story. I couldn't remember what the first one was, but this is, like, his second story he tells. And I'm like, I would have just been like, that'd be so great if after they presented an episode, afterwards they're like, Man, that story sucked ball. You know, you get out.
Leave.
Like, they just made him leave immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But instead they're like, oh no, you're right, fire ghosts. So anyway, so that was the tale of the fire ghost. Didn't have a lot on that, just I needed to talk about that to somebody.
It was a dumpster fire, which would be scarier, honestly, than...
Yeah, the tale of the dumpster fire.
Yeah, I'd be like, what's going on here? This dumpster's on fire. Oh, okay.
Look at all those
and
homeless
people.
And
6 seconds later, the episode's over. It's just, it's yeah. fine. It's just a dumpster's on fire.
Bum, bum, bum.
The dumpster
yeah.
fire.
So,
oh, are you afraid
anyways.
Of the dark? Well, we had this was episode 13. It was a good medium level spooky. I think next week in honor of All Hallows Eve, we're going high level spooky, medium level. High level spooky.
Wear your adult diapers next week because we're going to be bringing you them scary pee pants stories.
I'm always wearing adult diapers. So,
hot news. hot news. Breaking news. Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, shit. No, I'm not.
She pisses her pants.
My husband and I are big meme fans, and there's ones like, hey, I don't know the little girl's name, like, hey, so it's like, do you pee your pants? And she's like, yes, sometimes. And that's one of my favorites. Someone knows.
That's it.
She's just like picking her nose or like, hey, Sophie, do you pee your pants? And she's like, yes, sometimes. It's just one of the best. Someone knows it. Everyone knows this meme. Yeah. Get on the meme train.
So,
get on the meme
anyways,
train.
Get on the meme train. So anyways, thank you guys again for joining us this week for this wonderful episode of 90s Court. Mm-hmm. So let me take over the where to find us this time. So where to find us. We are on Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. We are on Instagram at 90s.court. Mm-hmm. Find us on Podchaser. It's a really cool website. They don't have an app yet, I don't believe, but it's a cool website. It's basically like the IMDb, this new IMDb of podcasts, where you can also listen to podcasts there as well. Mm-hmm. We're on there at 90s Court. You can also follow Lisa and I, as we also have profiles up there.
Yeah.
And also, if you could hop on Apple Podcasts,
did you see
do
we
a
got?
Solid.
We got new reviews this week. Did you see them?
Yeah, we did. We've cracked 35-star ratings, and I think we got like 18 maybe reviews or something like that. So if you haven't done so yet, it would be super awesome. Like I said, even if it's a really short, quick one, that's just like I'm just here for the candy. That'd be really weird. Don't leave that one. Like, I guess somebody's gonna do that now. But yeah, leave us a nice 5-star review, and it will be greatly appreciated.
Yeah.
And you can even reach out to us and say, hey, I did it, and we'll say we love you so much. Mm-hmm. Here's a nickel. Mm-hmm.
It'll cost more money to mail you the nickel.
It'll cost more to mail you the nickel. But we're just going to literally address it to you, put a stamp on it, and put a nickel by itself in an envelope.
Yeah. True.
Which is highly illegal, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, did you have anything else you'd like to discuss before we let our folks go?
No, but I would like to hear from people this week on, like, their favorite scary stuff from the 90s. Like, your favorite, I mean, there's so much to cover. Goosebumps, Simpsons, Treehouse of Horrors, all the scary movies that came out, all the scary episodes of shows you like. Just, like, hit us up with that stuff and be like, I remember how much this scared me as a kid. Or if you were in a slightly older person, you were an adult. How much you scared me as an adult? It's like, I want to hear it. Let's hear it this week.
Yeah.
Open that dialogue.
We might do that on social media too. That might be a good idea, just to shoot out some things about, like, hey, what sticks out in your mind the most from the 90s of things that scared the crap out of you.
Yeah.
So that way we can kind of hear some, and maybe we might share some on the next episode for a brief moment. So
spooky episode. Yep. Awesome.
So anyways, thank you all. You all are beautiful. We will catch you next week.
Awesome. Have a good week, everyone. Cowabunga.
Bye.
Bye.